Backbones. We're back. Go.
Hello.
Hello, James.
Hey, mate. Hey, oh, geez. Hiss and a roar. You're off too.
Oh, mate. I am tickety-boo today. I've had one of the single best weekends of my life.
Heavens.
Off the racetrack, of course.
Okay.
And ready to start the week
Shit,
on a high.
Fuck, mate. Shove that up your ass. Coming in hot. Clem's Wine Corner, episode 11. Here we go.
Season 11?
2. So, yeah, 11 on the bounce.
Oh, yeah, because, no, it's actually 12.
12, yeah.
Because of the technical faults of last weekend, you know. But, no, I thought today we'd go for something a little bit different in terms of wine.
Okie doke.
So, I've gone for the De Toren private cellar. De Toren.
D-E
space T-O-R-E-N. De Toren.
Matty was, is he?
Yeah, good mate. And this is a Fusion V.
Okay. Fusion 5?
Yeah, 5, sorry. Yeah, the V, I think, is a 5.
Sounds like an energy drink from New Zealand.
Yeah.
Like a blue V, or they've got blue V.
Oh.
Are you familiar with V?
No.
Okay, no, okay. Well, if somebody could send us a palette of V.
Solid.
Perhaps Frucor, the company that owns V. If you could send us that, you could sample it. It's actually quite a good energy drink.
Yeah, great.
You can find them in sketchier corner shops here in the UK, but...
Yeah, oh, really?
Mm.
I mean, we are looking for sponsors, so...
Yeah, if you're a sketchy corner shop owner and you've got a V, then we'd love to have you on board as a podcast sponsor.
Yeah, massively. So it's a red wine from Stellenbosch.
Stellenbosch, okay.
In South Africa.
Okay, South
Africa. We've gone for New World Wines.
South Africa.
And... It's 2017. So
2017. Was that a hot... I guess they're all hot years in South Africa.
Usually pretty hot, yeah. You'd have to say. Now, how about we get some of the old smells there?
Yeah, let's get it on the old nose.
On the old nose. Hey? I know I've got a big nose.
Yeah.
Stop laughing.
Okay, sorry. It's just, you know... It's quite punchy.
It's got some oak.
Yeah, I'm getting
sort of chocolatey.
I'm getting more of your summer fruit. It's a bit like a little bit sour almost on it. Like sort of, you know, it sort of grabs the hairs.
Oh, on your nose.
You know?
You got hairy nose, have you?
No, but they're up there, you know.
Oh, yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah, no, it's for me, it's oaky chocolatey. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Bit of leather.
Yep.
Sort of a
wouldn't
bit
be a Clem's Wine Corner without you describing wine to be leathery. So,
well, it's a red wine, and it, like you said, it is quite...
Well, any good red wine
argument. It smells quite tannic.
Yeah, yes. You can see the tannins, actually.
Yes, yep. Very much so. Quite special for a young wine, actually, to see tannins. Normally, you like to
young,
think
mate.
As they age, you start to see that sort of sediment. It's not that old. But anyways, how about we get it on the palate?
Yeah, go on. Let's give it. So
I like it.
Yeah.
It's bold.
Yes.
Which we like.
Yes, it is bold. It's a touch sharp for me. Ripe, if I can. Sharp might be too strong.
So you think maybe a couple more years aging?
I'm not sure exactly on the process. I couldn't profess to be that knowledgeable. But I wouldn't know how to improve it. But for me personally, it's you know how I like my reds, mate.
Yeah, like you like them smooth, sort of light tannins.
Like a bassoon, you know.
Yeah. If I could sort of paint a picture, you like your reds to be like a warm summery day there on the beach with sort of whoosh, whoosh from the sea coming in.
I wouldn't be drinking red wine on a warm summery day.
No, but I'm just trying to explain how the tannins would feel in the mouth.
I see what you mean.
So smooth, you know.
A strong tide.
Yeah,
I like a strong tide
like
in the mouth.
Strong tide, do you? Anyways, quite dry.
Yes, very dry. Yeah.
But quite long in the mouth.
Yes. Another thing we always look for here at Clem's Wine Corner, mouth length.
And mouth feel.
Always goes down well.
Yes.
Come on, grow up.
I completely lost it.
I think for me, it's in the sixes. I'm gonna say, oh, I'm really? Gonna feel gonna it go in the sixes. Higher. Well, but no, but that's it's more your kind of wine than mine.
Yeah, true.
You know, and every palate's different. So, it's a six, six, eight.
6.68.
6.68.
I'm going for sort of a round eight.
A round eight, nice. Sort of round, hourglass
yeah.
kind of figure to it.
We do, yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Okay, well, great stuff. Well, yeah. quite a mixed score, but...
But, you know, that's what we like.
That's diversity.
And to be honest, it's differing opinions.
Mm.
You know, not everybody's going to like the wines I like.
No.
Not everybody's going to like the wines you like. But I feel like we cover...
Do you see us going to war with each other?
No.
Exactly.
And I think we cover quite a broad
range
of wines.
And I think that's the beauty of wine, mate. You know? I think that we can share that and we can share a disagreement about it, but we can still share the bond of the grape.
And shake hands.
Yeah, should we shake hands?
Should we shake hands? Yeah, go on, let's shake hands.
There we are, shaking hands.
It's a shame you can't quite hear it there
on an audio-only
podcast.
Yeah.
So, racing news. Plenty of stuff to discuss.
There is more racing news this week than there was last week.
A whole lot more. I mean, we've had some F1, some F2, some F3, some IndyCar.
Okay, let's mix it up. Let's start from the bottom of the tree. Let's go F3.
F3.
Fauna. Wow. Rally. Fauna.
I mean, wow. I was there. I think it's probably the first time I've watched a race where I was that involved to the point where watching that final lap was... If I could compare it to something that's happened in my life before,
yep.
It's downing 6 vodka Red Bulls inside of half an hour.
Okay, I wasn't sure that was where you were going to go with that, but
you know that heartbeat.
I'm on the journey.
That heartbeat that you sort
I do,
of, as
I
you
do.
Lie down you on your
what?
Bed there.
I was going to say, not when you have them,
no,
it's when you're home.
It's
when you're home that you go, this was an enormous mistake.
Well, the first time that actually happened to me...
It only happens once.
Young age of 16.
Yep.
I fully believed I was having a heart attack.
Yeah. Yeah. Naivety it'll take you to those places.
You've got the sweat dripping off your forehead.
Oh, yeah.
You're there sort of... I can't even...
The instinct is call mum, but then you'd have to explain what you've been up to.
Which,
so then that's out.
It's a bad idea
that's out
for
the
a 16-year-old. Yeah, you can do it at 21, 22, you know what I mean?
Yep.
I guess your parents are pretty much used to it at that point. But
yeah, my mum phoned me once at 4 o'clock in the morning and I was actually asleep in the garage. Yeah, she checked my bed and I wasn't there, and she rang me. She's like, "Where are you?" I was like, "I'm in the garage." Like, as if like where else would I?
You ever slept outside before?
I mean, outside of, like school camps and shit.
No, as in outside, as in
got home, no keys, sleep outside.
No keys, sleep outside. Yeah,
I maybe once,
you've
but I
close.
Actually don't. I've come fucking close a few
multiple
times.
Times,
actually a couple of times recently, but anyway.
I have a few times.
Yeah, you've had a lawn snooze.
Well, in all beefer. I actually fell asleep on the beach once. And
yeah, I was going to say, weren't you staying on a boat when you were in Beaver?
No, not this time. It was a few years ago. Beach snooze. Not really a snooze, though.
More comfortable than a lawn. I mean, less creepy crawlies hanging about for a start. You can kind
you'd
of
be surprised.
That's more about the people.
Yeah,
but yeah, actually, that's true. I'd probably rather encounter a garden spider than some kind of cokehead on Ibiza Beach at 4 a.m.
Yep. Going back to the topic of Formula 3.
Absolutely.
Fornaroli, what a move. There is one way to win a championship, you do it at the last corner. It's kind of the championship you dream of as a racing driver.
Yeah.
Would you like to win it like Max Verstappen did 7 races early last year?
Nah.
Or would you like to do it on the final corner of the final lap of the final race?
I mean, he's even got Verstappen 21 trumped.
Yeah.
Final lap, final race. Doesn't get much better than that, but it did this weekend.
It went to the final corner.
Fuck me.
And what a dive bomb.
When he was going down the straight towards Parabolica, were you of the same opinion of me, and as it turns out himself, of just send it? What else are you going to do?
Look, mate, let me put it bluntly. It's win it or bin it in that situation.
Yeah, 100%.
And you get some drivers that do it for just race wins. I think Fauna is one of those that's cool, calm, calculated, has been consistent all year.
Well, no race wins.
No race wins, but that was probably the only moment this year where he was just like, you know what? It's either championship win or Alex Pironi on the outside.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw it.
Holy heck.
Yeah.
That was...
That huge shunt with Alex Pironi. It was one of those. It's either ending with a dub or in
or an aeroplane crash. Yeah. Actually, I want to give a big old shout out to Christian Mansell as well.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure he does listen to the show.
Well, no, to be fair, he didn't really get involved between the two of them. Obviously, he was in the fight, but he was very respectful.
Not just the last corner, but the whole race. Yeah. He was just so not a dick about shit. You know what I mean?
Well, in that situation, you can take advantage of it normally. Yeah. And he really didn't want to.
He was just not a penis, which you very rarely see from racing drivers.
As a whole, yeah. Mm,
yeah.
It was a great race. Formula 2, another blinder of a race.
I mean, yeah, okay. Well, let's do sprint race first, and then I'm going to bask in the glory of Sunday.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it's probably the best shout you could have done.
Behrman from P8, bloody great effort.
Massive. Great race.
Home crowd, in a way, for him.
In a way.
He speaks Italian.
No, just got to the front of the field, made the moves early on,
yeah.
Got to the lead.
Did the business.
Just never really looked
Weird
back.
Crash at the start.
Yes. To be honest, I was in meetings during that race, so yeah. I couldn't tell you really what happened.
Good on you.
But,
I couldn't lie, to be honest, having watched the replay. I was streaming it, but I wasn't really paying attention. It was more about me, to be honest, stream.
I get you.
Yep. Old mate in his first weekend for MP just got hiffed straight into the Baz.
Well, yeah, sometimes that, mate.
Doesn't go anyway, sometimes. I remember my first one.
Yeah, but actually, the first time that happened was because of me.
Yeah.
No. A tangle where you're like, it's 50-50. No, I had fully locked up the rears, hit the inside wall, and took out a dear friend Marcus
in
the process.
I was going to say, you hit the inside wall as well, not even the outside.
Quite the statement.
Impressive.
Well, you know, I like to sort of make a statement when I come in.
Yeah.
So get your mind out of the gutter.
Great last lap move. We're in F2 now. So then...
Formula 2 feature race. Should we just go straight?
So for anyone who missed it,
Nostradamus.
I tend to do these sort of live streams for the Formula 2 races as often as I can. And at the start, obviously, everyone's throwing around questions, you know, predictions for the race. And I was last minute pulling up to the grid and I thought, fucking Bortoleto. I said it live. People watched it. This is not. And
I even posted it on my story. I was that impressed.
Picked Bortoleto from the rear.
From last. Now, bearing in mind, this is something that has never happened in a Formula 2 race.
Yeah, so quite outlandish to throw it out there as a prediction.
That's the craziest thing. It's not, you know, an Ollie Behrman win or...
If he was starting ninth, it would have been a crazy guess.
Yes, but 22nd.
How good!
I mean, no, great.
Yeah.
Great prediction. I mean... At this point, I may as well give you my Bet365 account, and you can just go to
house
town.
On. Yeah.
Oh, I can put the house on it, mate. Because that must have been a 100-1 return on a Bortoleto win.
Yeah.
But no, impressive, James.
Thanks, mate.
And to the point where actually, once I'd shown Gabby after the race, he made the point of actually texting you
two hours after the race
and going, "What the fuck? How did you predict one?"
No, yeah, I was just working around the office and like a text from Gabby. It's just like, mate, you predicted. Yeah, bro.
But yeah, no, what a race. I mean, I remember the moment exactly at the point where I was like, yeah, he's probably going to win this race. I thought he was on the alternate strategy. So I'm in the car and I see obviously Dennis Hauger's turned round and Bortoleto leading on strategy, as I thought, going... Yeah. Oh, well, it's not going to happen. That's kind of opposite. You'd want a late safety car if you're on the opposite strategy, strategy. And then I see him dive to the pits. I look to the tires and I see he's got mediums on and I'm like, holy shit, it's the fucking day.
Yeah. it was so nuts. When I saw him go to the pit lane, the gears started turning in my head. I was like,
predicted it? And not only win it, but just drive away.
Nah, stonked, to be fair. His pace was race winning.
Half a second up the road from anybody else on track.
Yeah, and fucking, mate, game on. Hadjar had an absolute shitter. So
it's fucking tight at the front now.
10 points or something? 11 points? 10.5.
10.5.
There you go.
To be precise. But yeah, moving on to the next one, though. Formula One.
We're up to F1. We're up to F1.
Formula One. What a shit show Red Bull put in.
Yeah, not good.
Not good.
Because, I mean...
It needs to be studied.
I was quite surprised. Because up until now, if I'm not mistaken, their kind of strength has been straight line. And they've struggled on the cornery bits.
Yeah, you could say so.
Monza's a bit of a straight line track.
Well, I think that there is some it's got to be something that needs to be studied. I mean, we've officially got Red Bull as a midfield team before GTA 6.
Fucking A. There's a take.
Yeah. I mean, impressive. I mean, it may only be for one weekend.
Do you know what's funny is that, like, and now Perez is coming into his own. Now that he's back in the midfield car.
Well, he did turn around and say that, you know, Max is now starting to get the same problems that Sergio did.
Yeah.
And that's why they're a lot closer. Which I can understand. I think Fair that enough. Max obviously has got amazing talent and can sometimes make things work that most people couldn't.
Mm.
But yeah, no, they were pretty closely matched. It's it was
Max's race pace was pretty decent compared to the others. Like, it was there, but he just couldn't really do much. He
couldn't really do anything.
Mm.
But on the bigger things, McLaren.
McLaren, you said before the show. Is this a show or is this just a?
I think we should make this show, a fully
show.
Show
feels like too much.
Well, we're almost getting there. You know, we're both dressed up in suits now.
You said before we started recording.
Yeah.
Whatever this is. Orange is the new red.
Indeed.
Yeah. McLaren just got done on strategy by Ferrari.
Of all people.
Like, that's embarrassing.
And let me clear up the orange is the new red. Another study that should probably be conducted at some point is the number of ways McLaren can throw away a win.
Mm.
Because arguably they've had the best car on that grid for a while.
Half the year.
At least half of the year.
Half of the season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're nowhere to be seen. In the sense that they could have literally won. They could have.
It's just small mistakes that keep fucking costing them wins. And it's like... Ugh.
It's almost annoying. A sort of nuisance.
It would be annoying if it wasn't funny.
Oh, 100%. As a neutral, I just love to see it. What I'm loving to see as well is the hate both McLaren drivers are now getting because, you know, it used to be...
Tides turn, don't they?
Well, massively.
Tides turn.
The a lot of hate came up on Lando. Obviously, he's been feeling a bit under the
neck,
weather.
Hey? Yeah.
And then you've got Oscar, who now puts... arguably one of the best moves I've ever seen.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
And from a neutral's perspective,
it was sick.
It was unreal.
Yeah, it was sick.
I'm sorry, but a lot of people saying McLaren should prioritize one driver. Bro, if I'm Oscar Piastri, I'm not, mate, it's lap one.
One's a free-for-all. I mean, like, yeah. Because they're going to win the constructors.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the one that pays the money.
Pretty much.
No. That's it. There's $0 for being
at the same
driver's
time,
world champion.
Now you've got the whole Lando fan base getting on the back of Oscar saying he's not playing the team game.
So?
It's kind of the point, really.
Exactly.
You may be in Formula 1 for your team, but if your team's going to win the constructors, fucking free for all for the drivers.
Score the points.
Yeah.
Be the guy.
Let's see.
Eat the sandwich. You know what I mean?
I like fighting. I don't want a team that goes, here, you can pass.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I think Lando also reiterated. He said he turned around and said, you know, I'm not looking for a driver who's just going to let me buy.
Yeah.
I want to fight it out on track. And Ferrari win in Monza.
It's so good. Like, you can't not, like, as a sports fan, not even a racing fan, as a sports fan,
you
can't.
Did you see those fucking crowds?
How many tears for you?
Oh, there was a few.
Three rolled down my right cheek.
Mate, it's one of those things where you watch on TV... Because I obviously wasn't at the track at that point. I decided to
ditch.
You're
in the nation of Italy, though.
I was in the nation of Italy, but I've seen enough Grand Prix.
I've seen enough to understand the
traffic leaving the track.
I've seen enough traffic queues out of Grand Prix,
and you've seen me in traffic as well.
Yes, I don't like it. I hate being in traffic with you because of what the monster you turn into. Frankly,
well, I do road rage a little bit, you know. Foul-mouthed my way through the hour or hour and a half. I'm stuck around cars not going over 3 km an hour.
I'm going to start. There's going to be a segment on the podcast in a few weeks' time called Novalax Road Rage. I'm going to start recording you when you start losing your shit in the car. And it's going to be great.
Yeah.
Heavily censored.
But I think it'll mostly be beeps.
Yeah.
If I'm fully honest with you.
Anyway, we're digressing.
IndyCar.
Have we covered Formula 1?
We have.
Yeah, Formula 1 wins.
Ferrari win.
Shit.
We cried.
B-Man in the wagon for Haas next weekend. Gross.
How good? We'll see B-Man in the Haas.
Good shit. IndyCar.
Yeah.
What a fucker. So
I didn't watch it.
Yeah.
I was quite busy on Sunday night out and about in town, you see.
Oh, of course you were, yeah. Networking.
Wouldn't call it that, but...
For HMRC,
I'll call it that, yeah.
I had it on my iPad. We were on the phone to Marcus just before. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure I didn't make the start. Like, I'm pretty freaking sure I didn't make the start.
You passed out before?
Yeah.
Solid.
It's like, coverage started at like 11.
It's what happens when you're a business owner, you know, the day drains you.
It does. It's yeah. I need ice baths and saunas ASAP. That's all I can say.
Big time.
Yeah. So don't really know how that panned out. Apparently it was a shitter of a strategy from our side, and that's how it all went down. Five stopper was ideal. Connor Daly, what a fucking backbone. Connor Daly carrying the team. Hunkos, first podium.
Oh, he finished on the podium.
P3, do you not know this?
No. No, I didn't know this.
So there you go. Live reaction from Novak. Connor Daly was third.
Holy
on
shit.
Saturday.
Impressive.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Did you not see his overtakes on lap one? It was all over bloody Instagram.
No.
Oh, mate, have a gaze at this.
I'll have a look at it afterwards.
Oh, we'll chat away, but I'll pull it up.
Didn't watch race one,
got fenced, I think, twice or something. Yeah.
No.
Heard a fenced Newgarden on the first. I don't know which way around, but
But anyways, we're looking at the championship picture. It's pretty much sealed.
Yeah, it's done. This thing's over.
Unless Pelot has an absolute shocker.
Which, I mean, he fucking almost did it on Sunday.
And Power wins.
I'd kind of love that, in a way. I love Will Power. I love Will Power.
The thing is, I like record breakers.
But
and
I also
can
love
see Pelot
Chip
winning,
Ganassi Racing. So
I can see Pelot winning a lot of championships.
Yeah. I don't know if he sticks around IndyCar, though.
Well, let's see. But, you know... He's a pretty huge talent. I think out of all the drivers out there, he's probably the one that deserves it the most this year. He's just been consistent.
Oh, 100%. Like 100%. The man's a freak.
A freak.
The man's a freak. Yeah. Which we love. We love here on the show.
We love freaks.
We're freak enthusiasts.
We are freaks ourselves.
Yeah. We are freaks. Who said that? King Julian of Madagascar.
Is that so?
Something along that. I'm paraphrasing.
Ah, good on you. Should we...
What else do we hear? Crisis?
Crisis, yeah, I guess. Okay, yeah. I guess that's the last thing on the cards. I mean, we've talked so much about racing, everybody'd be bored by now.
Blow the ass out of a crisis.
Should we sting it up?
Yeah.
Ooh, this one's a bit of a...
No, try the middle bottom one.
Middle bottom?
Yeah. Why is the one on the left still going? Is that the applause?
Wait.
Because that's still going.
Oh, no. Oh, shit, it may be the applause. Well, hey, look, we've solved that many crises at this point.
I think we deserve a round of applause.
If it's not a round of applause, it's still going.
And, well, this is some kind of fart or something. I don't know.
It's extremely long.
Yeah, heff it off. This has got to be punishing for the
audience. Well, I don't know how to
heff
it
off. The listener is losing. This is...
There we go.
Hang on, it's still flashing.
No, yeah, it's flashing, but I've turned the volume
off. I don't like it's flashing. I'm going to have to...
So, I've got your... You just turned it on again.
No, I haven't. There you go.
Oh, good. So, I've got a crisis for you today.
Yeah, one of us saves me a job.
Public libraries in crisis as councils cut services.
Services?
Yep. More than 180 council-run libraries have either closed or been handed down to volunteer groups in the UK since 2016.
Okay.
More deprived communities were four times more likely to have lost a publicly funded library in that time, whilst 2,000 jobs have been lost. How are we going to turn that around, James?
Okay, so...
Firstly, let's analyse the problems.
Do we have a surplus of libraries? Is that first issue?
It's not really saying anything. It's just, yeah, there's bare libraries that have closed down, isn't it?
So they're closing down the libraries, or they're having to hand them over to volunteers, and I suppose the volunteer workload is, you know, who wants to run a library? So I think that maybe this is where we start.
Are you much of a book reader?
No, not at all. Like,
oh,
not
really?
Even slightly.
See, I love books.
I've got very good English language skills.
You do? Which is surprising.
Which is shocking. Considering I genuinely think I've read, for the sake of my own enjoyment, like not school or my parents making me read books, think I've read one book.
A book.
Yeah.
You see, I was a bit of a protege at a young age.
So you were taught to read at a young age.
Quite rightly so. I actually wrote my first word sort of a couple of hours after my birth.
Okay. With your...
With my hand.
Yeah, his hand, okay.
Yeah. And read Shakespeare at the age of 2 months.
Yeah. Cover to cover, no doubt.
Oh.
Hardback, or were you running a paperback
operation? Mate. It's got to be done hardback.
So that's originals, quite risky actually. With a two-month-year-old. Like, cause
a two-month-year-old.
You're teething probably at that point. So I would have thought that you'd just have the hard stuff in your mouth, but... you know.
Well, to be honest, the thing was, they were so amazed by all this that I was sort of quick-fired through
they?
To
the Olympic Committee.
Services. Yeah, they were just so impressed by my right. skills that I actually was and became the youngest student ever at Harvard University.
Was that... Yeah, in Harvard is that Boston?
Yes, in Boston.
Yeah, Boston. That was where the whole Red Sox thing came about as well after that, right?
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so basically, I was obviously going to university
you were Brad Pitt, and then you with the maths and stuff that you learned at Harvard, was that?
No. So essentially what happened was I was sort of fast-tracked to Harvard University at 7 months.
Right.
It was fine.
I'd be worried about that age is homesickness.
It was difficult, but my mum came with me.
But then again, I suppose you weren't that used to your home, having only spent 7 months there. So, I mean, I could quite happily move on from anywhere after 7 months.
Yep. So I was present, actually. I was in the dorm room there, 2005.
Yeah.
When Mark Zuckerberg, MZ. He was in the same house.
Yeah.
So obviously I was present for the birth of Facebook there. I was actually one of the close confidants of Eduardo Saverin around that time.
Yeah.
The guy that obviously got, you know.
Spider-Man.
That's the one.
Yeah. He got bitten. Because that happened on a lab trip, didn't it? You guys were touring around. He got bitten by a spider and then he became
That's
Spider-Man.
The one.
Yeah.
And so do you like books?
No.
No.
So I think what we need to focus on is how we can make operating these libraries an enjoyable task. Because obviously being a volunteer in most walks, well, right?
Yeah.
No fun.
Well, it depends.
Well, there you go. This is what I'm getting at.
Ah, I see.
So...
If I jog my memory back to my time, though, when I was 6 months old.
Yes.
And was reading books.
Okay, we're back on this. Yep.
A whole lot of books.
Yep.
You got to think, what was I thinking to be so inspired by books? Because I think if more people read books... more libraries are going to open as well. And they're not necessarily going to be volunteer.
I think you might be coming at this from the wrong angle.
I'm going from the sort of demand.
Yeah, there you go.
You're tackling the old supply.
I'm looking at supply. Okay, run out your thoughts here.
I reckon, you've just got to get people into books earlier. Because these days, they're all on their tablets.
Sure, yeah.
I think instead of gifting your 10-year-old an iPhone, you gift them...
Shove a book in their face.
And an orange.
The citrus does help with the eyes, apparently. So
and carrots. Get them carrots. Carrots too. Great for the eyesight. So
any sort of orange flora.
Yep. And make them read. Make them read early.
Okay.
I think, it's all about building up a routine.
But then again, you've got to develop the library habit because, again... don't give them a book, give them a library card. Then you're giving them
books. You've solved the demand side. That's what we need.
Well, I've basically sort of rediscovered the concept of a library, but...
maybe on a subscription basis, kind of similar to online subscription basis. That's what people love to buy these days.
I think we need to make the library sexier.
Okay.
So...
You want to attract even more demand by... What would you do in a library? I'd put house music. Start there. It's too quiet.
I think we can get the students involved. You know, like
I'm not liking where this idea.
I don't know. I'm just thinking, who's fucking around doing nothing?
I've got no idea where you've gone with that.
If we could get karaoke nights at the library.
Oh, how good.
You know what I mean? Like, sort of diversify the operation. Like, get it sort of to be a multi-platform event space rather than library. Ugh, boring. Whereas you think book disco, fuck yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Big time. And how are we solving the supply then? The other side.
So book disco. Like, if you want to get down there, spin some decks. I don't know what the kids are
spin some decks,
doing these
throw
days,
some shapes.
Yeah, throwing some shapes, cut loose,
Yeah.
Get shaky after school. You could, you know, that's a fun time. So you could organize that as a student.
100%.
So, you know, a bit of a man about campus, you know, you got a few of the ladies on your mobile there, and you just, you know, send a few texts out, say, hey, you know, Big Dick Harry's having a party at the library tomorrow night. Come along.
How good.
Then when all the students are there on MDMA around the books,
yeah,
they'll become re-inspired.
And they'll start to read.
Puff it straight back into the reading.
Oh, mate. We've just solved it, I reckon.
So drug-fueled rages at university libraries, I think, could be the answer here. But expand that out beyond the university, because then you'll be kicked off campus.
What, so you want to do it even before?
So if you take these sort of volunteer-run libraries,
yeah,
have that, because that's off campus. You can't be kicked out for doing drugs there.
No, yeah.
So
just basically host raves.
So these volunteers essentially need to facilitate raves.
And
then sort of hand over the torch, if you will, to some of the, you know, the more regular party goers, the sort of bigger characters.
Yeah. I see what you mean. Oh, yeah.
Done.
Jeez. Well.
Fuck, man. We're getting good at this.
Honestly, at this point, we should run for president.
31-minute wine corner, mate. That's
a long one.
Is that longer than usual? They're usually about 20-odd minutes, aren't they?
Said, isn't it?
Not to me, mate. Anyway, hey, have a good one, folks. We'll see you next week. And Pepe Marti's probably going to be out tomorrow. Today.
Today, indeed. On the day.
Yeah, because today's Tuesday, isn't it?
Yes, it is Tuesday.
Anyway, hey, have a good one, you sick.
Cheerios. Ciao.